Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I've made it clear that I believe America is at an inflection point. One of those rare moments in history when the decisions we make now will determine our fate of our nation and the world for decades to come. America's going to have to choose between moving forward or backward, between hope and hate, between unity and division. We have to decide, do we still believe in honesty, decency, respect, freedom, justice, and democracy?
So I thought I knew why he was giving this speech last night. I thought the purpose of the speech was to explain why he's capable of staying president but not capable of running a campaign, that his health or state of mind or whatever was good for the one but not good for the both. And he was going to explain why he needed to stay in office but not stay running for president again. And I thought that maybe he would talk about why Kamala Harris is going to be fantastic as a president. I mean, that's just generally what I expected. You know, I thought he might answer questions about, or even describe his own self-awareness that his mental condition had deteriorated to the point that, he was persuaded that he needed to drop out of the race. That's vaguely what I expected. I don't know what we got. It was 11 minutes of either nothing or very, very thinly veiled allegations that Donald Trump wants to destroy the country. I'm not quite sure because I watched it. And what you heard there was him saying that, you know, we're at an inflection point, this is a trite expression that he uses all the time. It's a bend. It's a fork in the road. It's a, you know, you go this or that way, right? We're always at an inflection point. I mean, every election, every decision, every big bill. I don't know. I get tired of the drama of saying that, you know, this is the most important election of your lifetime. Well, you know, at 54, I've seen a couple, or 53, I've seen a couple of elections. I want to give myself an extra year there suddenly. That's inappropriate. I've seen a couple of elections, and every election cycle, every primary, it's always, this is the most important decision. Okay, fine. But he didn't answer those questions. He didn't talk that way. He gave a kind of a weird, here's what I've done as president and I'm proud of it, like, celebrate my legacy, I guess, kind of, you know, when it's all over, don't forget about me. That's kind of what he was doing. I'm not really sure. But if I don't view it as this kind of odd rambling proof of life video, that it sort of was. I mean, it's fine. He's at the Resolute desk. It seemed like it was deliberately structured to say, oh my God, you people, don't you understand how bad Donald Trump is? I mean, on the one hand, calling for total unity, you know, let's all get along and realize we're fellow Americans.
In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as friends, as fellow Americans. Can we do that?
Can we or not? That's the question. Then again, we have choices in the candidates and...
Does character and public life still matter? I believe I know the answer to these questions because I know you, the American people. And I know this. We are a great nation because we are good people.
Okay. Good standard, pablum, whatever, but then...
The sacred cause of this country is larger than any one of us. those of us who cherish that cause cherish it so much, a cause of American democracy itself, must unite to protect it.
Yeah, but why do you say it? Again, it's either just nothing and sort of boilerplate president speak, or it's meant to say, God, don't you realize what's going to happen to this country at this inflection point if you elect this other guy? He's going to destroy American democracy. Which is the line of reasoning that he's been using about Trump, but which sort of seemed like maybe you shouldn't keep saying after somebody tried to assassinate President Trump, as Trump himself called for in his speech. Maybe stop saying I'm an enemy of democracy if you also are saying there's no place in this world for political violence and, you know, we all have to sort of work together and create unity. So this was the closest to real substance that came last night.
You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor.
Now, that's a weird phrase. I need to unite my party. Isn't that a weird way to say it? Instead of we need to unite the country. I don't know. It stuck out to me. Anyway, here goes again.
You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe.
Again, the critical endeavor is saving the country for democracy, right? Preserving the American Republic.
I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation.
So we're at this danger point for the future of the nation. I think I'm the best guy for this job, but none of y'all agree with me, and we must not lose to Donald Trump. So, I'm out. Now vote Kamala. I think was the message that personal ambition to continue to be president for another 4 years cannot get in the way of saving the country from the existential threat of the GOP. I guess. I mean, it's the only sense I can make of it.
You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. There's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now.
Why is that time, July 24th of 2024? I mean, I'm always being a little bit snarky, but why particularly is now the time for younger voices instead of, say, I don't know, a year ago? What's changed? I mean, seriously. What's the difference now versus then? Because, you know, you could have just not run for re-election then. What's the big evidence that America is at such a fundamentally different place today than we were 6 months ago before the primaries, 7 months ago, or a year ago, that now is the time for youth? As opposed to, you know, last summer, or last month, or last week, when you were committed to staying in the race. See, I mean, I ask these questions because, you know, I like studied logic and try to make sense out of what people say. And, you know, when the sense or the underlying structure isn't there, what you start to say is, okay, this is all just nothing. This is all, he's not really saying what he wants to say, or what he is saying is different than what he's trying to say, or in the end, why did we get this speech at all?
Well, in the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president.
And great. I would hope, unless you're resigning.
I'm going to call for Supreme Court reform because this is critical to our democracy, Supreme Court reform.
You're going to pack the court. Okay, you did that Supreme Court Review Commission. I'd covered that extensively. You listened to all the ideas, and you were just waiting for your moment. And now that you got 6 months as a lame duck president, when you're not running for re-election, and when you can take all the flack for pushing for reform or, you know, getting your policies enacted by the Supreme Court or getting your views enacted by the Supreme Court. Okay, all right. But still, I don't really... I mean, that's a minor thing, I suppose, but maybe that's the announcement.
When Ben Franklin was asked, as he emerged from the convention going on, whether the founders have given America a monarchy or a republic, Franklin's response was, a republic, if you can keep it. A republic, if you can keep it. Whether we keep our republic is now in your hands.
That's the only message that I got, trying to read the tea leaves a little bit here, is this country is in danger of not existing anymore in its current form because the other guy, Donald Trump, is so fundamentally dangerous to this country that you got to beat him bad. And even somebody like me, who I think is the best man for the job to beat him bad, y'all don't agree with me. And so it's time to pass the torch to a younger generation of people like my vice president, who primarily has the advantage of not being me, and then we can save the country, vote Kamala. Best I got for decoding the president last night. As opposed to, and honestly, as opposed to the message I thought I was going to hear, which is, you know, my fellow Americans, here's why I'm not running for re-election. Here's why I think I am still capable of being president. And at this time, following the assassination attempt on a former president and the current challenger from the Republican side, we need to learn to get along better. We need to learn to talk kinder about our enemies. And we need to realize that we're all Americans, which I will say occasionally as lip service. But what I really mean is, oh, my God, he's a total enemy of the state, which is the kind of thinking that produces things like an assassination attempt. So, dude, what was this? 521 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You cool, man?
Like how?
Okay.
Analysis of a laptop that the investigation ties to the shooter reveals that on July 6th, He did a Google search for, quote, how far away was Oswald from Kennedy? And so that's a search that obviously is significant in terms of his state of mind. That is the same day that it appears that he registered for the Butler rally.
Yeah, we didn't get an awful lot of information out of Christopher Wray yesterday other than confirmation that it was 8 shots fired, confirmation that he used a drone to surveil the event space about a couple of hours before Trump spoke, that, you know, he did have a rangefinder, which we knew, and that, as you heard him there say, he looked up on the internet how far was Oswald from Kennedy the same day he registered for the event. None of which really tells us too much except continuing to ask the questions. Well, why was he allowed to walk around? Why was he allowed to get on the roof? Why was he not questioned when he had the rangefinder? And you can fly a drone over the president, former president's speaking area, and nobody bothers to ask you any questions about that? Okay, interesting. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, former President Obama is now reportedly planning to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris. According to NBC, the pair have had multiple discussions since she announced her candidacy.
Slowest walk ever.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, even when he comes out in favor, it's sometimes when you take too long, it means the opposite.
Yeah, you would think that.
Yeah. Or it means, you know, I don't really believe in this process of selecting instead of electing, you know, which is, you know,
right.
I seem to remember Democrats were against selecting over electing in 2000 with Bush and Gore, but now I was like, yeah, fine, selecting is good.
So, cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike says they're going to do better after their faulty software update basically shut the world down last Friday. The outage affected Windows systems across multiple industries and grounded airplanes, including Delta, for several days. The company now says they're planning to improve their software testing. And did you see those riots protests, I'm sorry, in Washington, D.C. yesterday with the burning of the American flag?
I didn't see, but I guess it was connected to Netanyahu, as I'm assuming. Is
yeah,
that
they
right?
were they were outside protesting Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to Congress. I believe they pulled a flag down and burned the whole. It was very interesting to see.
Well, go America.
Yeah. Just what you want to see in the Capitol.
Quality people.
Just what you want to see in the Capitol.
It's fantastic. It's wonderful. David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, this is kind of interesting. The PNJ has picked up on the storyline involving Jeff Bergosh running for re-election and the, what's the word I want? Deliberate manipulation of the process? Legal. There's nothing legal about it, or nothing illegal about it. But, you know, what we often say is that there's the law and then there's ethics. And the law often permits you to do things that are not ethical. And when somebody defends their behavior by saying, well, at least I didn't break the law, the right response is, that's a low bar, sir. I mean, it may be true. And, you know, in this case, I think it's true. I don't think any law has been broken. I think the laws themselves are terrible. I asked several of our candidates last night during the forum in Santa Rosa County that they did last night and the night before, but I think last night is when I mostly asked about, you know, hey, do you think we ought to change these rules that let write-in candidates close off primaries, or that, you know, you have the ability to win a plurality instead of a majority to win a primary and then to basically be the person who wins the general, because based on the demographics of Republicans and Democrats, if you are a Republican in 4 counties in Escambia and all of Santa Rosa County, if you manage to win your primary by a plurality, you're done. You know, you're not going to lose in the general. You know, and in this case, as the PNJ correctly reports, you have Jesse Casey, who has run against Bergosh several times and then was working for him, which we all thought was super weird, and then temporarily stepped away, went on a leave of absence in order to run against him again, which made it harder for Steven Stroberger to win, because a 3-person race, you only need a plurality, which is all Jeff has ever won in the past. And then when questions were asked about, well, you're coming back to work in this job, you think? Because you took a leave of absence. Oh, no, I quit, actually. which later he actually did. And then the two people who are writing candidates, again, closing off the election from Democrats or no party affiliates, both have close ties to Commissioner Burgash. And, you know, like, family supported him and, you know, like, worked for him or helped him with signs in the past. And this is all based on the text. God, the text messages have been a wealth of information. I mean, it just... What's scary is not what's in the text messages. What's scary is to imagine what's in all the text messages we don't have. And not just from Jeff, but from Stephen and Luman and, you know, Santa Rosa County commissioners and city council members, right? It's not only what's in the ones that, you know, got released from Commissioner Burgash, it's all the other ones. So, you know, Jesse Casey doesn't respond to the News Journal's request for comment. You know, Commissioner Kohler says what's going on in District 4 is democracy, where you have this, you know, multi-person race where everybody's just racing against each other. And in District 1, he says the race is like something out of a communist third world country. Following the rules, but immoral and unethical. But legal!
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden explaining why he left the race in the White House during a primetime address from the Oval Office.
I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition.
It was the first time the commander-in-chief spoke publicly about it since he made the decision. Former President Trump described the address on his Truth Social page as barely understandable. President Biden and the vice president will meet with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this afternoon. About half the Democratic caucus included VP skipping the PM's speech to a joint meeting of Congress on Wednesday. And the vice president will speak to teachers in Houston today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 75 degrees. The Pensacola woman accused in a fatal hit-and-run crash last year has now been extradited back to Escambia County. She was arrested in Kentucky last week. 41-year-old Jessica Hendrickson was booked into the Escambia County Jail on Monday. She was released on Tuesday after posting $100,000 bond. FHP troopers say back in June of last year, she was driving on Sorrento Road when she ran into a bicyclist, Jeff Nichols, from behind, then fled the scene. She's next scheduled to appear in court on July 30th. The State Board of Education has released school grades for the 2023-24 school year. As a district, Escambia County received a B for the fifth straight year. Three schools, Bellevue, Home, and MacArthur Elementary Schools, all jumped from a C to an A here over the last year.
You have a school like MacArthur that has been a C school for a number of years. And the last time they earned a grade above a C, I think, has been almost 10 years ago. So you have schools that have just been kind of stagnant, like a MacArthur, that jumped to an A.
And that's Assistant Superintendent Denny Wilson. He adds that Montclair, Warrington, and Lincoln Park Elementaries, along with Global Learning Academy, each raised their grades from Fs to Cs. Meanwhile, Santa Rosa County received an A for the sixth straight year. Okaloosa County received an A for the ninth straight year. Marco Rubio has a new bill that he says will promote family-centered child care. The senator introducing the Respect Parents' Child Care Choices Act. Rubio says his bill will support families who raise their kids at home, create a voucher system, and protect faith-based daycares. He says it gives families the flexibility and support they need to make the best decisions for their child care. Pensacola man now arrested, accused of fatally shooting both his wife and his dog. 51-year-old Timothy Kramer was arrested by police in Milton yesterday, booked into the Santa Rosa County Jail on homicide and animal cruelty charges. This comes after the Escambia Sheriff's Office issued a missing persons alert Tuesday night for 47-year-old Rosa Kramer. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says Rosa's body was later found in a home on Hillcrest Avenue. A dog was also shot. It died from its injuries at an area vet. Name, image, likeness is officially a go for Florida high school athletes, but questions do remain on how rules approved by the FHSAA in June will be enforced.
We have an allegation process where on our website, general public can go on our website and click the allegation form and submit an allegation to our office. Our member schools will be watching. I can promise you that they watch for things that they feel other member schools are doing that are inappropriate.
And that from yesterday's Board of Education meeting. Education Commissioner Manny Diaz says the FHSAA will provide schools with specific instructions on the new rule changes. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a 70% chance of rain. Highs today near 89 degrees, overnight dropping near 75. For Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Friday night temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the wet pattern around for your weekend, Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 89. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Now a look at our financial market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SK Hynix, one of the world's largest memory chip makers, said second quarter profit hit its highest level in 6 years as it maintains its leadership in advanced memory chips critical for artificial intelligence. Revenue from April to June increased by roughly 125% from a year ago. SK Hynix said that a continuous rise in overall prices of its memory products, thanks to strong demand for AI memory, led to the increase in revenue. CrowdStrike is blaming an undetected bug in an update for the massive global IT outage that grounded flights, took TV broadcasts off air, and disrupted banks, hospitals, and retailers. CrowdStrike also said it would take measures in the future to prevent similar outages, including staggering the rollout of updates, giving customers more control over when and where they occur, and providing more details about the updates that it plans. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 504. That's Your Money Now.
Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
Just in time for the summer season, Pete Moore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months or take $3,500 in customer cash. The mid-size Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Pete Moore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend. And she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola right now.
Let's just go back from two Saturdays ago to now, where you have had a former president and presidential candidate almost assassinated. You have had a president withdrawing from running for re-election. You have had a Secret Service director resigning. I think there is something else that I've missed.
Pensacola right now, 4 till 7, before Dave Ramsey, News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Warm Saturday, this Saturday beginning at 9 a.m.
We've put in more than 730 smoke alarms from October 2023 to July 24, and we think we'll reach 800 by the end of August. And just to give you perspective, and how appreciative I am of our fire department, the entire fiscal year 23-24, the Red Cross, who is our amazing partner in this, they're the ones providing these smoke alarms that's allowing us to do this. I think they put in 100 for the fiscal year 23-24, and we're at 730. So it's been a really good partnership.
That's pretty impressive for a kind of a pilot program trying to get smoke alarms into homes that need them, which certainly has the prospect of saving lives. 700 versus 100, great program put together by the Pensacola Fire Department. D.C. Reeves, we spoke with him yesterday, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. I just think, as you mentioned yesterday, lots of other counties are and cities are looking at us and what we're doing and seeing, hey, fire alarms save lives, as we well know, right?
Yeah, and remember, you know, we had that rash of unfortunate, you know, tragedy where we had had a few fires where there was loss of life, and even worse, caused with at homes that had no smoke detector in them. And so, you know, when you talk about how can you make a change, something that you can control, that's why we've gotten really passionate about this, and our fire departments in Red Cross have been awesome. And if you think about it, we've got 21,000 households in the city. If we went by sanitation, bills, a little less, 20,800 or so, and this is 730 smoke detectors on our way to 800. You're talking about, when you think about 3% of the city almost on average, I mean, that is really covering some ground. And it's inevitable, I guarantee you, in the next 5 years, 8 years, we're going to have a fire where lives are saved and property was saved by one of these. It's only a matter of time. And that we just know that loss of life increases so significantly when there's not a working smoke detector. So, you know, they're out there saving lives. We don't know which ones yet, but we know it's inevitable that someone's life will be saved by these efforts.
And this will probably wind up being the news we don't hear about because it doesn't happen, or because they are out safely and it's just a structure fire or something like that. But no, that's public safety, job one. That's good stuff. Lots of things to get to with you. First question, or just maybe a comment. I wanted to give you props on the air. As you well know, I was in Milwaukee last week and had a very good experience at the airport. Processed me quickly through TSA, and you know, both directions it went well. Did we talk about this last week? I can't remember if we did. Maybe we didn't. I apologize. But
I appreciate you saying that. And you know, just so you know, if you ever have a theory, you know, part of building a good reputation is, you know, and I get it right now, if you posted something on social media that said, what do you think about airport lines? Because we felt a little pain.
Yeah.
But the fact of the fact, TSA tracks literally the average minutes per hour that it's taken someone to get through. So, I mean, we're happy with where we are, considering where we were. So I understand people having some frustration from previous, but I can tell you the data suggests our worst scenarios right now are inconvenience. Like, it's not someone missing a flight. I mean, we might have an hour where a machine's down and it's 30 minutes. 35 minutes, but if you're there an hour and 15 minutes before your flight, much less 2 hours, you're getting through.
Yeah, I had no problem. I was, I was cautious. I got there 2 hours ahead. The line looked long to me, and 16 minutes later, I was on my way to the terminal. I mean, it was very, and they were not just efficient, but very professional and courteous and helpful, the TSA agents. So it was like, you know, all around a very good experience from my perspective. You're gonna have a meeting, I think, what, tomorrow with county leaders about figuring out how the new homeless ordinance is going to affect plans to allow what, camping and or building a shelter, which we can do not have the money for, but these are the kind of what we need to do, right?
Exactly. So we're basically called a meeting with city county leadership and staff to figure out that, you know, we've got an obligation coming October 1st in terms of what the state's asking us to do and what to be able to provide. So what's our next step? And so we've convened that meeting. We'll you know, see kind of what the county has going on or what their thoughts are. Certainly, you know, we have some thoughts, and you're right. It's why we brought John DeCarmine in that is running a very successful low barrier shelter. Was the last thing I wanted to do was say, yes, we're going to definitely open a low barrier shelter, and then all we have is $1 million one-time money, and it's going to be at least that to buy a building probably. Then we got to renovate it. Then we've got to operate it at $2+ million a year. So what I've said is I've kind of tabled that as a bigger community conversation, whether that's businesses, hospitals, city, county. You know, that's going to have to, if we're going to do that, that's going to be a significant lift that we've got to get a lot of people on board for, and can't be rushed by the time we've got to spend ARPA money by the end of this year. That's just not going to be realistic. So I'm committed to spending that last million, $1.1 million of ARPA on homeless reduction. We just might be pivoting how we do it kind of as something that can be in effect and go ahead and get us some housing and get us some improvement of our situation today, as opposed to something that may take a year or more to get everybody on board and be able to fund sufficiently.
And, you know, October 1st is going to get here fast. 3 months is not a long time for something that, you know, especially something of this scope that we've been dealing with for so long. I did want to ask you, it kind of makes me laugh, but it kind of doesn't, because I swear it is one of the questions I get the most often. I get asked questions about the graffiti bridge, you know, and I get asked questions about parking, and I get asked a lot. I say, what's going on with the Grand Hotel? Why isn't the Grand Hotel open? Yeah. What, you know, why doesn't the mayor do something about the Grand Hotel? And I like, what?
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Well, the equivalent way to think about it is, imagine if someone was emailing me and saying, hey, why don't you do something about that person's house over there in Pittsville? Not code enforcement, but
right.
I think it should have a second story on it. I mean, you know, in other words, this is private property that's owned. And if there's a code violation, or something like that, obviously we can step in and have some authority. But at the end of the day, I'm in at least regular communication with the owners. They are conditioning the building. I mean, they are preserving the building with the potential, sale. So I just emailed, was trading emails with another person that their representatives have brought forward to us. I think that's our third. There was a national hotel chain. There was a local group. And now there's another group from Dallas or something, I believe, that we met with in person once, and we are going back and forth with. Now, remember, it's not our negotiation. This is not our property. Why are they meeting with us? Well, they're meeting with us, number one, to have some buy-in from the city. And number two is, like any one of these deals, they're looking at what their opportunities are to make this thing pencil. So what I can tell you and what they can tell the citizens is we are motivated. We've got a historic train station down there that, mm-hmm. that I want to continue to stay preserved. I think that's in the public good. And so we are open to these conversations. And what I can tell you is every time someone calls my office and says, hey, I want to meet with the mayor about a Grand Hotel, I move my schedule around to have that meeting, is what I can tell you right now. So we are motivated to get something there, but we also have to be realistic in what our limitations are. At the end of the day, this is private property, and all I can tell you is I know the owners are trying to keep and take care of it, and I know they're as motivated for something to happen there as I am. So we're continuing to work it, including to this moment, to this hour right now, and we'll do anything within our power to help get that back into the public realm.
You're telling me you can't just order PPE to go in there and take it over and make it open to the public with rooms and facilities, and that's not how that works?
Yeah, I got pinged enough on it. I thought about it. You know, just I was like, maybe I don't know the rules. Maybe I can just go and commandeer the building. I don't know, but I don't think I can do that.
Hey, recycling. I just talked with Bruce Woody last hour, and you know, you guys are still working with Adams to figure all of this out. I also had somebody had said, tell the mayor that the Summit drop off is completely overflowing. So, where do we stand on recycling? How soon, if we know, and what about the Summit drop off?
So had a meeting with Adams last week as we work through and if you think about all of the things that will have to go into place, how are we going to get people to sign up? Who are they signing up with, Adams or us?
Yeah.
Getting the cans back out, marketing it correctly, which is a whole other issue that regardless of what we do. And so there's lots of logistics to think about with this. So. But the conversations are moving forward. I'm actually having another recycling conversation with kind of one of like the national kind of thought leader groups of municipal recycling.
Okay.
I have that meeting today, and just to think about, all right, if we enter into a third party agreement, what should that look like, and all those types of things as well. So we are moving urgently to get no date yet. But that's not for a lack of us tabling it for what we think are more important issues. We continue to move it forward. But I'll tell you, Andrew, and you've heard me mention this publicly already, you know, we also are trying at the same time to figure out what is the offering from the city when this comes back. Oh, do we just bluntly just keep it at twice a week, garbage pickup, and then add this as a service? That's probably the simplest thing to do. But we're looking at opportunities. Can we offer the choice of either once a week or twice a week? If you live by yourself and you don't need it twice a week, you know, can you have some cost savings there? So there's a couple forks in the road that we're kind of dealing with at the same time, which we think is the cleanest way to bring a product back to the citizen. So more to come on that, but we're not filibustering. We're ultimately trying to get this thing done as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, you know, the old rule about giving people choices is just make sure you don't give them more than three. you'll confuse them.
Fair enough.
Parking enforcement. You mentioned something yesterday that I don't know whether it was a change from the original plan or not, but that there's a 45-day grace period built in, so it's not August 1st really when the teeth hit. It's September 16th. Did I hear you right?
There's going to be a 45-day grace period for the new time. So from 7 to midnight that we're extending, because that's when people said they couldn't find parking spaces.
Got it.
And right now we charge $0. We need to go into the evening so we can actually create inventory for people to be able to park downtown and move cars along. So all of the other things don't work if you're not lowering that demand at the most peak time. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a grace period for that. And that doesn't mean you can park there anytime you want and you get 8 tickets, but it's either one or two warnings that you would get that were after 7 on that license plate. And then eventually there'd be a ticket. You can't just do it every day, obviously. But, we're trying to acclimate everybody as best we can. We don't want someone to have missed the news and not known that, you know. So we want to be as fair to everybody as possible and get us all accustomed to these new changes.
So not the pay on Palafox, but particularly for the later hours, that's going to be a bit of a grace period. Again, right. A reasonable grace period based on behavior. That makes sense to me. All right. Just one quick thing before we do the lightning round. Party in the park this weekend, right?
Yeah. So skate park 5 to 9 on Friday with Bike Pensacola and Upward Intuition. And then we're doing an event at the pool on Saturday from noon to 5 at Cecil Hunter Pool. So we want your feedback about what that park's going to be. We're going to look back and say, were you at this thing when we talked about the 1.3 miles and what we do with it? So that's our main goal. But we've got a lot of stuff out there for everybody. We'd love for everyone to come out that would use this park or lives by the park. I'm really proud of our team. We're being as proactive as possible in all of these things that we need, community engagement with. I would argue we've never been better right now and more intentional about getting community engagement than we are right now. So,
yeah, and I love
so we'd love to hear from you. You know,
I love this idea that instead of calling a town hall or instead of calling a presentation meeting, what you're doing is you're calling a party and allowing people and seeking input at the party. Which that's
correct.
Great approach, especially when the input is needed surrounding amenities that you can entice people to come play with. So I love the approach. We always like to end with a lightning round. Quick questions for you, Mr. Mayor. First question for you is, who was the best or your favorite movie villain?
Oh, man. I'm going to say, for me, the memorable one is Bane. I don't know why. I just think it was the scariest.
The guy who's going to purge the city of all of its unnecessaries. Okay.
Or maybe the Grand Hotel. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Bane would have definitely been running his operation out of the Grand Hotel. That seems really obvious. If you had to choose, is it better to be nearsighted or farsighted?
Oh, man, all these philosophical questions. I would say, I think it'd be better to be near, right? I mean, to be able to read your computer screen, read a book, right?
You side with my wife on that one. People tend to answer it's better to be the one than whatever they are. So in my case, I'd rather be farsighted because I don't have to drive with glasses on. And then the last one, and I'm going to take your preferred answer off the table here. A store that went away that pained or hurt you the most, and you cannot say Blockbuster as a former employee. Give me another one.
Toys R Us. I feel like, I mean, man, that the experience of going to get a Game Boy game and then going to the cage at the end after you turn it in, like, man, the, you know, the sense of the pure joy is still vivid to me over there off Ninth Avenue. You know, that was a big day when you got a new Ninja Turtles Game Boy game or something.
I always knew about you. You didn't want to grow up because you're a Toys R Us kid. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us on a Wednesday. We look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, thank you for the time and the information. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much.
I love playing those clips. It brings me back to my, childhood, you know. 5:54 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Yes, even rich Corinthian leather.
Let it flow! Let yourself go! Slow and low, that is the tempo! Let it flow! Let yourself go! Slow and low, that is the tempo!
This is an all Beastie Boys hour. I kind of like it. By the way, I went looking yesterday for the Ricardo Montalban, you know, the rich Corinthian leather. And you know what I discovered? First of all, this is a hilarious series of ads because it's Ricardo Montalban trying to make Chryslers look luxurious. Like the whole, and he's there in front of like some really bad looking late 70s model Chrysler family cars with like the side paneling, like the Vista Cruiser short bus edition. You know, it was, and the other funny thing is, you know, that rich Corinthian leather, you think of that as being the catchphrase. I only could find one ad where he says that. He says soft Corinthian leather, authentic Corinthian leather. I mean, it's not like that's the one thing he said all the time. That's just the one that has survived the meme games, you know, the competition, the bracket or whatever. So I thought that was weird because I thought I'd go back and, oh, yes, rich Corinthian leather. Well, one time. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, House Republicans have passed a bill that would cut funding for the Environmental Protection Agency by 20%. The annual government funding bill for the EPA and Interior Department passed Wednesday by a slim majority, although it's unlikely to make it through the Democrat-controlled Senate. NORAD says they had to scramble fighter jets yesterday to intercept 2 Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers and 2 Chinese H-6 bombers off the coast of Alaska. In a statement, NORAD said the Russian and PRC aircraft stayed in international airspace and did not enter American or Canadian airspace.
So everything's fine.
Everything's good.
Everything's
just
good
some
here.
Bombers off the coast. No big deal.
Everything's
to see here.
Good here. How are you doing? Like Han Solo in Star Wars. Everything's fine. How are you? That's not a good sign. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Coming up, what are we going to talk about next hour? Mattel has introduced a couple of new Barbies. I can talk about that a little bit. And our cell phone's bad for your kids.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.